Welcome to Raising Tech. I'm your host, Amber Barden, and today we have a special guest, Brian McWade from Centrix. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, so excited to have you on the podcast. I know we've been trying to get you on for a couple of weeks now, so I'm so glad that you're here and we're going to talk a little bit more about Centrix. So to start us off, can you tell everybody a little bit about Centrix, about your role in the company, and just give us that background and that history?
Sure. So I'm the Chief Product Officer at Centrix, responsible for overall product strategy, vision, deployment of our software and hardware solutions. Centrix is in about 7,500 communities in North America. So we have a very large footprint. When you look at companies that provide technology in the room of residents, we're definitely one of the larger groups. All of our technology is interacted with in one way or another by a resident. Personally, I have spent my whole career in senior living, initially helping found Connected Living, which is a resident engagement product, and helped see that through two acquisitions, which brought me to Centrix after Centrix acquired Connected Living. So it's been a full circle experience for me personally.
Can you share a little bit about what the whole product suite is at Centrix? Because I know you mentioned Connected Living and then there's Centrix, and what else is involved in that company?
Yeah. So, you know, when you hear 7,500 communities, you might say, wow, I haven't really heard of Centrix before, but that's a lot of sites. And the strategy we've taken is actually to acquire our growth. So we've looked at different industries within senior living, life safety, entertainment, and engagement, and have strategically acquired companies that have been around, have strong footprints, strong retention, strong clients. So we've acquired seven companies since 2016 that have fallen into, you know, one of those three categories. And when you think of life safety, those are things like e-call systems and motion sensors and, you know, wearable pendants that provide service for residents. On the TV and entertainment side, it's more of your traditional phone internet TV. We're the largest direct TV reseller in senior living. And then on engagement, your traditional resident engagement products. So we're very focused on those three areas. There's a lot within each of those products that makes them unique, but that's the broader product line. And as we move forward, we're bringing those three divisions together into one product.
I think it's a really exciting time to see what's going to happen with technology, especially on the resident side. I think we're going to start seeing a shift where residents and our family members moving in the next few years are going to start asking questions about what technology do you have to keep me safe? What technology do you have to let the community know if I fall? What do you have to monitor my activities and my vital signs and all of that? One of the biggest challenges I see with this shift to this type of technology is infrastructure and Wi-Fi. And I'm curious, what have you encountered? What are your thoughts on solutions around that? Because it can be a very expensive problem to solve.
Yeah, it's definitely important to, as more and more residents move in. When I started in this space, less than 20% of seniors had access to internet. And today, I think it's over 50% move in with a smart device they use multiple times a day. So it's there. When we look at it from our perspective, we're deploying a lot of different technologies in the community. And we want to find ways to deploy those that don't necessarily require wireless. All of our e-call products, a lot of our other products, they run off of other bandwidth, Zigbee and Z-Wave solutions. So we don't have to necessarily always bring in solutions that take away from the precious bandwidth the community has. We're definitely in a position since, in addition to providing technology products, we're also the provider of internet. So we need to be able to provide quality service, but we're in this position of controlling our own destiny in terms of what products will work best with the internet and really monitoring usage and peak usage and how we adopt that.
Coming from your unique perspective as a founder of a company that was then later acquired by Centrix and having been in this industry, what do you see are the biggest challenges facing the industry? And what does Centrix do to help solve those challenges?
Yeah, I think, you know, today there's a couple things in my mind. We talk a lot about boomers. The average age of a senior living resident right now is, I believe, 82. The average boomer is 78. So we haven't even really hit the peak yet of that growth coming into the industry. You know, when the pandemic started, census went down 10% across the industry, and it's really only come back about 5%. And then the third piece is, you know, unfortunately, just given our industry, a community typically turns over in about 2.5 years. So you would think at this point that your census, that's pretty much out of the pandemic, would have rebounded to where it was before, given how communities kind of turn over every couple of years, and it hasn't. So there's a lot of focus on cost reduction and efficiencies, and how do we really identify where we're spending our time and where we're spending our money as an operator. So that's a lot that we're trying to do with the data we're collecting, is how can we make the building run more smoothly. We're also finding from an engagement perspective that there are so many different factors that go into how people use technology that you can't just be a one-stop shop. You know, you need to have different ways for people to engage, from signage to TV experiences to mobile apps. You need to have the full spectrum because everyone's coming in with a different experience.
Let's imagine a scenario where we're putting a new construction and we are outfitting the community top to bottom with Centrix products. What would that look like? What would that look like to the resident? What would that look like to the staff and the family?
Sure. Well, a foundational piece is definitely the life safety side. We've done for decades your more traditional e-call, your wired e-call systems. Where we're going today and where we're investing all of our R&D is in our Ensure RTLS platform, which is real-time location sharing. So picture your traditional e-call platforms, but wireless. Everything's wireless. And then we put beacons and locators throughout the whole campus, anywhere where you want to know and pinpoint a location. Rooms, different pieces of rooms, dining areas, hallways, courtyards. And we map it from a location standpoint. So on one side, that gives you some more locational-based insight into your emergency call system, but it starts to give you other operational efficiencies around where are my residents spending their time? Where is my staff spending their time? What are my response times to various things? So there's a locational component that you want to build into your new communities because you have that CapEx to do it. On the TV and engagement side, you know, we want to look at entertainment services that folks are using at home. So how do we bring in streaming services, integrated set-top boxes with DVR service, which we built our own set-top box that is DVR driven. So how do we take some of these consumer products that people have and they're bringing in and embed them in there? So those are some of the key pieces. And then you have obviously engagement in the BYOD setting. So you want to make sure that you're set up for however that person wants to connect with the community.
I was just on site with a client this week who was actively looking for the first solution you described to have that geolocation. We see a lot of clients wanting to move away from the more traditional pendants and wander guards. Does that solution also work outside? So could it cover an entire campus, including all the outdoor areas?
Yeah, so there's two sides to it. The locators can go in or outside, and it's all location-based and alert-based. So you could say, you know, between 8 p.m. and 12 p.m., these three or four residents or this aggregate group cannot exit this particular area. So we're giving a lot of flexibility to the staff to look at those alerts. And then that same type of thing could be outside, you know, no courtyard access. But we're also deploying and continuing to develop our own, you know, cellular-based pendants that can go off campus and be more of your traditional PERS device. But instead of just being a standalone pendant to a call center, it integrates into the broader emergency call system. So now a resident can have peace of mind, not just when they're on campus, but when they go out to the grocery store because they're in independent living. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to cover all those pieces depending on the demographic.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a huge need for solutions like this as residents want to be more independent and more mobile and have less of that institutionalized feel to, you know, ensure their safety. One of the questions I frequently get when I talk about these types of solutions with our clients is, you know, there's definitely a case for the monitoring and the tracking and all the life safety pieces and all the sensors, but there is concern on the community side is who's going to track all this data? Who's going to make sure it's being responded to, it's being looked at? And then how do you use this data? So what is your approach to that side of it?
Absolutely. Well, I think there's two sides to it. Where we look at our business line, when you look at Centrix, there's dozens of products. Today, they're independent product line. You're buying emergency call, you're buying TV, you're buying Engage. Where we're going, and we'll continue to do that and advance those products. Where we're going is those are vehicles of collecting important information. And the fact that we own these different companies, we're in a very unique position to take a resident and to feed all the data from those product lines into a view. And to do through our BI tools, business intelligence tools we have and we're building, to do a lot of that data work for the staff so that they don't have to say, hey, well, rows and columns and all these different things, and what does it mean? So, you know, we're building our Enrich platform, which is built to, from a resident perspective, give that 360-degree view, but also that operator perspective, provide insights based off the data that we're collecting. So we're trying to take that off the plate. From a day-to-day perspective, the products are built for life safety. You're going to set up who's getting what alerts. You're going to set up escalators. You're going to choose who gets what and who doesn't. So we're trying to also not have alert fatigue across all the product lines, but also make sure that the people that need it can get it. There's a balance, obviously, to who's involved and who isn't.
Let's talk a little bit about the cost side of things. I'm sure the people listening to the podcast think that this all sounds really great and it's the future, but how do communities pay for this? Is there an ROI that you can point to, or is the cost replaced by another cost? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, each product's a little bit different. You know, on the emergency call life safety side, there's typically an existing product you might have in place, and there can be retrofits where you retrofit pieces or whatnot. And then in new construction, it's more of a CapEx expense. But in emergency, in the insure side, it's much more of an upfront investment. And then there's recurring fees for service fees, depending on pendant replacements and things like that. So the pricing is very similar to what communities would be doing today with, you know, your emergency call side of things. On the entertain side, it's primarily how you're paying for your TV service. Because we're providing TV in bulk, and we're doing it as a large dealer, we're able to look at pretty significant pricing differences from various carriers and the fact that we can do both. So we're seeing $15 to $20 per room savings on your regular cable and TV programming with the fact that we can put a set-top box in too. So as a niche provider in senior living, we can be a little bit more flexible than some of the big box carriers.
Do you envision scenarios where some of these monitoring services and additional technology would just be billable a la carte, or what would be the model for that?
Absolutely. So we are looking on the cellular pendant side. It doesn't have to go through a community. It can be more of a case by case, especially in independent living. The more communities get into streaming, streaming is much more of a case by case basis. So we see that as a la carte offering where a community can offer traditional TV service or a non-bulk streaming platform. You know, so I think there'll be options on that side and a lot of flexibility. The same thing for internet. You know, we offer resident internet, and that can be done on a per resident basis since we're the ISP for that community. So there's a lot of flexibility in terms of how it's offered, how it's packaged, how the community markets it, if they're giving it for free or charging for it. So, you know, in most of these cases, especially the phone, internet, and TV business, we're giving the operator a platform for them to really decide how they want to charge and pay for it.
Brian, if a community is interested in exploring some of the solutions that Centrix has, what would you say, what's your top advice? What should they do to prepare? What should they know? What would be lessons learned, things to get started?
There's three areas that we're trying to solve. There's the operational efficiency, the resident experience, and, you know, one that doesn't get talked about a lot, but it's on the minds of every owner and operator is just the investor accountability, the financial accountability. So I'd like to ask our customers, our clients, our prospects, give me some examples in those three that are your biggest concerns. You know, our products touch most of the operation of a community, and in one way or another, we can help tie in ROI to specific things. When you look at our product line, where we're going is we want to be able to walk into a community and say, forget about TV, internet, or phone. Here's all of the products. You pick which ones you want. You want engagement, and you want motion sensors, and you want to do that because you want to provide an auto check-in for residents at events. Well, we can combine these products and do that. Holistically, we're trying to break down the barriers of our product lines and just say, here's everything. Which pieces do you want? And we'll make them work together.
What do you see as the future? So is there anything out there that we haven't heard of yet or that might be coming or that might be in other industries that you think is coming to senior living?
I think it's more on, we hear a lot about data, and I think it's easy to talk about data, but there isn't a lot of movement in our industry right now to provide, you know, centralized machine learning and, you know, predictive and prescriptive data insights to clients and communities. We hear a lot about it. And one of the challenges with that is most of that today is done through integration. You need to integrate with a company. And when you integrate your data, you only control what that company will provide to you. And when I look at what Centrix is doing and some other companies is the more where you can be the source of truth for the data, the more impactful it can be. And the more that these companies can share that together, we'll start to have some really strong predictive insights that can help with those key things around, you know, length of stay, how we can, you know, improve the net income of the community. If the Centrix product or any product can extend the length of stay of a resident by 5 days, which seems little, you're making a big impact to the operator. So I think we're going to see a lot of advancement in the business intelligent tools that can be brought to market.
Brian, thank you so much for everything you've shared today. Is there anything that you want to make sure our listeners know about Centrix that we didn't talk about yet?
I think just the only thing, I kicked it off in the beginning saying you may not know much of Centrix, but just so you can hear some of the companies that are tied to it. On the life safety side, companies like Syscor and Silver Sphere, two long-term emergency call companies. On the TV side, companies like Senior TV is a part of Centrix. And then on the engagement side, companies like Connected Living. So if you've heard of those companies or worked with them now or in the past, they're actually now part of Centrix. And, you know, we continue to both sell those products as standalone, but really bringing them together to form Centrix 360.
That's great. And if our listeners want to know more, where can they find you?
Our website, centrix.net, LinkedIn, conferences. We attend pretty much every regional show. We'll be at the large Leading Age conference in the fall. But, you know, if you're attending any conferences, look us up. If not, please reach out through the website.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Brian. It's been a really great conversation.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you have feedback on this episode or have ideas for future podcasts, you can find us on our website, parasolalliance.com. Thank you for listening.